Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2160 with a release date of Friday, March 22nd, 2019, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST, Hams Prep for Floods in the American Midwest. A noted DXer becomes a silent key, and the team is Bouvet bound at last. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline number 2160 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Wadsworth, Ohio, here's Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
We begin this week's report with word that the 3Y0I Bouvet Island D-Expedition has at last set sail aboard the MV Atlantic Tuna for its destination, which the team expects to reach around March 26th, conditions permitting. The team departed South Africa on the 19th of March and has plans to stay between 2 and 4 weeks on the remote island, depending on various factors affecting safety. If you can't wait to get them in your log, listen for their call sign, E51DOM/MM, while they are en route. There is information on their website at bouvetoya.org about how to track their progress. The team notes that it will not be monitoring personal emails or any of the DX clusters during the activation. Expect their glacier camp on the island's southeast corner to provide an open view to Europe and Japan, but mountains in the northwest directions to the U.S. They write on their website, quote, "Stay tuned for further updates and cross your fingers for us. History has begun," end quote. Meanwhile, amateurs in the American Midwest are keeping an eye on the massive flooding expected soon on both sides of the Red River, expected to have serious impact on residents in North Dakota and Minnesota. Hams there have been using the advanced weather warnings to brace and to plan, as we hear from Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
Faced with a flooding emergency that could recall the massive rise of the Red River in 1997 and 2009, members of the Radio Amateur Emergency Service and the Red River Radio Amateurs Club are meeting regularly to prepare for early April, when overland flooding could overtake the Flat Valley as melting snow is trapped by ice dams directly to the north. Mark Jensen, KK0V, the newly named emergency coordinator for the Amateur Radio Emergency Service and a member of the Red River Radio Amateurs Club, said close to 50 hams gathered for a planning meeting on the 19th of March to work out logistics for cooperating with the Emergency Operations Center in Fargo and West Fargo in North Dakota and in Moorhead, Minnesota. Mark said the Weather Service has predicted moderate to severe flooding, and hams have been instructed to check the condition of their emergency kits, charge all batteries, check their ID badges, and spend more time monitoring the repeaters than normal in case they are called up to assist with communications. He said hams will also be coordinating with the Fargo-Moorhead Ambulance Service, which maintains a ham shack. The hams, many of them veterans of the previous floods, renewed their plan of action, from power outage response to assisting with sandbags, and expect to meet again soon and hope for the best. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
The DXing community and amateurs worldwide are grieving the loss of a noted longtime amateur radio operator who died following a fall from one of his towers. Jeremy Boot, G4NJ8, contacted Paolo, PV8DX, a longtime friend of the Silent Key, and has this report.
The accomplished and well-known DXer known as Alencar, PV8ADI, of Boa Vista in Roraima State, Brazil, has become a silent key. He died just 3 days short of his 80th birthday, which would have been on the 20th of March. An active DXer, his full name is listed on QRZ as Clovis Pinheiro Barreto. He was often heard on 20 and 40 meters and was accomplished in CW. His friend Paulo, PV8DX, told Newsline that in the afternoon of the 17th of March, he'd fallen from the top of the very tower he'd built himself. Paulo wrote in an email, "We think the steel cable that he was repairing failed, and he jumped." Paulo said that his friend was taken to hospital with an open fracture to his right arm, and also with leg injuries, but his heart stopped during surgery. He was revived once by the doctors, but at 6:37 p.m. that evening, his heart gave out. Paulo said that Alencar had no family. He went on to say, quote, "He just lived for radio, morning, noon and night," end quote, and added that Alencar was worthy of all our admiration and was, heart and soul, a radio ham. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
A special tribute page has been set up honoring the memory of this silent key. Please visit labre-rr.org. There's a new category of special radio licenses and a new spectrum of frequencies on which to use them in the United States. Jim Dameron, W8TMW, has that story.
New rules released by the Federal Communications Commission will enable experimentation and development by entrepreneurs and innovators on the frequencies between 95 gigahertz and 3 terahertz for a period of as much as 10 years. This will also better facilitate their marketing of radio equipment during that period. This part of the spectrum on the outermost portion of the usable range has been considered particularly promising for new development, and the FCC rules are considered the agency's recognition that communications above 95 gigahertz was needed to assist with development for use by data-intensive high-bandwidth applications. Known as the first report and order, the FCC's rules are designed to encourage U.S. industry to stay on the cutting edge through innovation. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Dameron, N8TMW.
In another FCC action, the agency has issued a notice of violation to a California amateur for operating outside the amateur radio bands. The FCC said that on January 31st of this year, Daryl Thomas, KE6MWS of Carmichael, California, was transmitting on 95.7 megahertz on the FM broadcast band. The agency said that last November, it had sent the technician class operator a notice of unlicensed operation after a complaint that he had been transmitting on the same FM frequency 1 month earlier. The upgraded notice was sent on the 15th of March, and the agency's enforcement bureau said that the next step, if warranted, could be a notice of apparent liability for forfeiture in which a penalty may be proposed. Organizers of a special VOIP net are getting ready to celebrate World Amateur Radio Day in April, and all the connections ham radio has played a role in for so many decades. Dave Parks, WB8ODF, has been following that story.
When the International Amateur Radio Union was created in 1925, no one could have envisioned the changes that would shape the hobby so many decades later, including internet-linked modes such as Echolink and IRLP. Using the special event call sign W2W, a 12-hour VOIP net will be among those on the air around the world marking the occasion, celebrating amateur radio and the friendships the hobby has built. This 12-hour net will begin taking check-ins on the 18th of April, beginning at 1600 UTC. It's accessible via IRLP Reflector 9251, the World Conference server. And for the first time, check-ins will also be possible from All-Star Node 47620, the World Conference Hub. John DeRakey, W2JLD, said, "A special World Amateur Day 2019 QSL card will be available for all participants who contact one of the 10 different net controllers during the event." John said that the first-timers are especially welcome. He said the event will be recorded for later transmission and will be available as well on Broadcastify through the Friends Conference server. Technology may have changed since 1925, but ham radio friendships endure. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Dave Parks, WB8ODF.
You can count on hearing more amateurs calling QRZ on 60 meters under a new frequency allocation table that gives hams in Greece the WRC-15 band between 5351.5 kHz and 5366.5 kHz. Greek hams have been approved for use of that portion of the band on a secondary basis at 15WEIRP. Officials in Greece published the new frequencies in the March 5th Government Gazette, which contained a new frequency allocation table. Time for you to identify your station. We're the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the KB9 LPP repeater in Twin Lakes, Wisconsin, on Saturdays. The repeater is DMR-enabled on the Brandmeister Network. If you're new to FT8, you apparently have a lot of company around the world. According to a report just released by the ARRL, Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, has those details.
While HF propagation may not be going strong lately, the FT8 digital mode is. Is there a connection, perhaps? According to an ARRL report, a survey by Michael Wells, G7VJR of Clublog, found a 12% growth in FT8 users between 2017 and 2018. He said the log's users, representing about 270 of the world's 287 DXCC entities, uploaded 41.3 million contacts in 2018, growth he called significant. Wells noted in the report that he credited the continued decline of the solar cycle for the mode's gains. He noted, too, that hams living in restricted residential areas or on small parcels of property have likely also benefited from FT8. Reporting for Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Encouraging hams to cooperate with one another to help locate and handle sources of interference, the Radio Amateur Society of Australia has released a free online resource as a tool to assist them. The amateur group describes the tool, QRM.guru, as an internet-based educational and reference resource. RASA states there are no commercial interests in the service, which was built with content from developers, the public domain, and credited published works. The website is interactive, providing guidance in locating, reducing, or eliminating interference. It also offers tips on how to choose consumer products that do not emit unwanted RF noise. One of its developers, Chris, VK3QB, says in a press release, quote, "For the first time and in one place, QRM.guru provides a coordinated set of resources and self-help for amateurs to find out about QRM issues and techniques in resolving them," end quote. To gain access, visit qrm.guru and click on the words "Start Here." The Amateur Radio Society is also asking that suggestions and comments be sent via email to feedback@qrm.guru. Our occasional series, Nets of Note, looks at creative ways hams get together on the radio to share their interests. This week, we hear about a very young group of amateurs and would-be amateurs who are discovering friendships over a net on DMR. Mike Askins, KE5-CXP, tells us more.
On Sunday nights at 7 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time, some of the world's youngest radio enthusiasts are taking time out to get to know one another better. This is the Young Operators Digital Voice Net, and is hosted on the QuadNet Array, which draws operators from DMR, D-Star, and Yaesu Fusion. At the helm is 10-year-old Danielle Edgington, KE8JNU, daughter of Dan, N8YMD, and Cindy, KE8JNT. Though Danielle is a relatively new ticket holder, her enthusiasm for radio dates back to all those car rides listening to her father's scanners and radios. Now, she's spreading that enthusiasm with other new licensees or licensed candidates who check in as a third party using the call sign of a nearby parent. Danielle told Newsline they include Katie in Alabama, whose father, Russell, KV4S, helps her participate and who might become net control one day, too. They recently included 7-year-old Carson, who checked in from Georgia with his father, Aaron, N4ARY, coaching him. The net has even had DX from young hams in Trinidad and Tobago, the Philippines, and England. Danielle told Newsline that even if the kids start out a little nervous, as they often do, they always check out knowing that they are very welcome. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5-CXP.
Youngsters wishing to check in should visit the QuadNet Array website at openquad.net for details on how to gain access via Yaesu Fusion, D-Star, Echolink, DMR, and even the Peanut app on Android smartphones. Young hams are our hobby's future. Amateur Radio Newsline honors outstanding youthful amateurs with its Young Ham of the Year Award, named in memory of Newsline's Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF. This is a reminder that we have opened up the nomination period once again and are in search of candidates for this year. Award recipients offer the amateur community and the community at large the best of their talents. All information about eligibility is available on our website, arnewsline.org, under the YHOTY tab. You'll be able to download a nomination form, which is due back to us before midnight on May 31st. The award will be presented on August 18th at the Huntsville Hamfest in Huntsville, Alabama. In the world of DX, be listening for Elvira IV3FSG on the air as 6W/IV3FSG from Senegal until the 14th of April. QSL via Club Logs, OQRS, LOTW, or via IK3GES. Chris, VK2YUS, will be active as VJ0CA from Vanuatu from the 26th of March to the 2nd of April and will also be in the CQWWWPX-SSB contest. Listen for Chris on 40, 20, and 15 meters, QSL direct to VK2YUS. Listen for Jacques, F6HMJ, on the air as 6W7/F6HMJ from Senegal until the 28th of April. He will be on SSB and CW on 80 to 10 meters. Be listening as well for Massa, JA0RQV, using the call sign A35JP in Tonga through to the 27th of March. He will be on the air during his spare time using SSB, CW, and FT8 on 80 to 6 meters. QSL via Club Logs, OQRS, LOTW, or via his home call sign. Finally, we all know that listening to the radio pays off, sometimes even more than keying the mic. For one ham in India, however, four decades of listening have paid off with a lifetime achievement. Here's Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, with that story.
Congratulations to Joes Jacob, VU2JOS. Joes, the Assistant Director of the National Institute of Amateur Radio in Hyderabad, India, is an accomplished DXer of a very different sort. His hobby, even before amateur radio, has been broadcast DXing or BCDXing. More than four decades later, his BCDXing has landed him in the Limcar Book of Records for 2019. Joes has received the most certificates of reception, QSL cards, from stations that are apart from All India Radio, a total of 132. His QSL cards came from shortwave, medium wave, and VHF FM stations, beginning with his first confirmed reception in 1976 when he was 17. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
With thanks to Allen Labs, Amateur News Weekly, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, the FCC, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, QRZ.com, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, Telangana Today Newspaper, Wireless Institute of Australia, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners. That's all from Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, at www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York and our news team worldwide, I'm Stephen Kinford, NAWB in Wadsworth, Ohio, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2019, all rights reserved.